tomorrow, March 21st, there will be a performance at the Overture Hall in Madison at 7:30. It's actually the Madison debut of a major artist by the name of Jeanette Fischel, and welcome to the Midday.
Thank you, Norman. Glad to be here.
You're going to be playing that, I think justly called it famous instrument by now. That have you, I gather, not played it before then?
Not before 24 hours ago.
Not before 24 hours ago. That's the organ in the Overture Center.
Yes.
And it has an official name, too. One or two official names.
I'm sure. Every organ is named like ships.
Yeah, that's
What's
right.
What's the name of this one?
What is the name of this one?
The Overture Concert
Organ, says a bird in my ear. The Overture Concert Organ. And how have you been getting along with this instrument?
We are fast friends. And it is unique. It is the only organ I've ever played that's where the entire structure is movable, which is incredibly impressive from an engineering standpoint. That has no bearing on the music I'll make, but I hope it will be a moving recital nonetheless.
And the music you are making, say, March 21st, that has a familiar ring to it.
Has a ring to it. It is, for those of us diehard Julian calendar aficionados, it is actually Bach's birthday. Julian calendar changed to Gregorian, and when it did, Bach's birthday was moved 10 days later, but we ignore that.
Sure.
And we will always celebrate his birthday and near the spring equinox, which is very important too, which I believe just happened.
Yes.
So we're now springtime.
All of these things converging.
Converging.
So is this going to be a celebration of Bach?
Well, it is. It's called Bach and Beyond. It's not all Bach. I could easily have done that. I've just spent the last 3.5 years of my life playing the complete organ works of J.S. Bach.
Well, 3.5 years.
3.5 years. 21 concerts, yes. The first time it had ever been done in my town, Bloomington, Indiana, and the first time I'd ever done it. But it's sort of like a climbing a particular Mount Everest for an organist to do that. And it was just the greatest thing I've ever, greatest challenge I've ever taken on, greatest satisfaction I've ever had in any artistic program, and the hardest thing I've ever done. But because of that, I've lived with Bach's music so intimately that it's easy for me to think about playing a complete Bach program. But that didn't seem to me to be the right mix for this hall or audience. So I'm doing what I'm calling an homage in three parts to begin the concert. I'm going to be playing, the first piece is an early piece, and I'm going to be really delighting the audience with an interpretation. Sam doesn't even know this. An interpretation that is a little bit more an homage to the way one would have played Bach 100 years ago in a more orchestral way. And that sort of homage to our forefathers and the way they thought of Bach's music and the drama of the music. The second piece is a piece actually not originally for organ, but the so-called fiddle fugue of Bach, which someone transcribed, perhaps Bach, from his BWV 1001, the Unaccompanied Violin Sonata in G minor. And someone, some along the lines, turned the fugue into an organ piece. But which
Bach
is great.
Bach is so endlessly translatable, isn't he?
He is so translatable. And so it was always paired with this really insipid prelude. Actually, it's kind of a nice piece, but it doesn't go with it. They don't go together. And so I actually transcribed the first movement of the Unaccompanied Violin Sonata and married them. And they're very happy together. And then the third piece is the great E-flat, St. Anne Prelude and Fugue, played with modern, quote-unquote, up-to-date, informed performance practice, and a little bit more purist. And that's Bach, I think Bach the purist, but pure genius.
Would those pieces have all been intended, the Bach organ music, for church use?
You know, Bach didn't see the division between sacred and secular. Everything he did was for the glory of God, Soli Deo Gloria. And he would have probably felt it was silly for us to say this is church and this is concert hall. Having said that, we do have evidence that probably not the violin piece, but you know, Bach often would prelude on the organ, on organo plano, on full organ, at the conclusion of the service. So yeah, we take that to mean that he would have played with all the stops to dazzle the congregants on their way out to the pub, the tavern, and
it's all part of life.
Yeah, it's all part of putting Sunday morning to rest, just like church organists do now.
Things have not changed too much. What are the largest organ solo pieces by Bach. I mean, we think of preludes, you know, chorale preludes and fugues and that kind of thing, but sonatas, do we have
four? Well, I mean, with Bach, you know, length and length really doesn't tell. You can spend 6 months learning a 30-second chorale prelude with Bach to play it well. So I don't think you can use the same language about this is big. Certainly, it doesn't get any bigger than the E-flat prelude and fugue that I'm playing tomorrow night. This is a monumental piece that actually is one of the rare pieces that Bach oversaw the publication of in his lifetime. And it began and ended the Klavierübung III, with the prelude at the beginning, the fugue at the end. And it really was his alpha and omega. It's one of those long, you know, 15-minute tomes that you end it feeling like you've just had the best meal you've ever had in your life. At least I hope you do when you hear me play it tomorrow night.
Well, let's hear some of you play in this case. This is the organ of the First Presbyterian Church in New Bern, North Carolina.
Right.
And what made you choose that venue?
Well, at the time I was a professor at East Carolina University down the road in Greenville, but really what made me choose that was they have a gorgeous small instrument by Charles Fisk firm.
Famous firm.
In a beautiful historic church. And when I would travel down the road to practice and play there, I felt like I was stepping back in time to the 18th century. And I thought, what better place to play Bach? This is more of a chamber music instrument. And that's why these little chorale preludes sound so beautiful on it.
Well, here's one of them. Ich rufe zu dir, Herr Jesu Christ. I call on you, Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the work of Bach, played by my guest today, Jeanette Fischel. Preludes of Bach, Ich rufe zu dir, Herr Jesu Christ, played by my guest today, Jeanette Fischel, and in this instance it was at the First Presbyterian Church in New Bern, North Carolina. The ornamentation for Bach, it's kind of interesting, doesn't it?
It is. During the break, we were just talking about the fact that this particular piece stumps a lot of people because Bach ornaments the beginning of it, the first Stollen, if you will. And the Abgesang is the second part of the chorale is quite plain. And so when I performed that and I recorded it, I added my own ornamentation on the second part, florid ornamentation, which is a particular choice that a lot of performers make. But one also can choose not to do that. And the meaning might be that at that point in the chorale text where Bach stops the ornamentation, writing in ornamentation, the words in German mean keep me in the right path. And so we know that Bach was very intimately concerned with projecting the text because that to him was the theology. It was, he sang out his belief. And so I don't know. I think it's beautiful both ways. I'll ask him when I go to heaven, hopefully, which one do you prefer?
Does it make you more conscious or self-conscious, though, about playing these other pieces that would have had text to them and thinking, well, would this be appropriate for what Bach intended with the text?
I think it's always a consideration when you play music that is based on any kind of text, chorale tunes in our case, because this was just such an intimate part of the compositional process, the idea of projecting the theology and the words. And sometimes it's very obvious text painting, and other times it's not. But, I mean, it's just like, you know, opera, only it's untexted opera for the fingers and feet, and you do have to be aware of that.
Well, speaking of opera, or at least a somewhat larger, I guess you could say, use of the instrument by the time we get into the works of Louis Vierre, and we are pretty much pulling out all the stops, aren't we?
We are. You know, the program tomorrow night is Bach and Beyond, and certainly the Beyond part includes music by Louis Vierre. And I mean, I've played, kind of made a second specialty in French Romantic music, as a lot of organists do, because it's just so darn fun to play and so wonderful to listen to. Vierre was organist at Notre Dame. He was, all intents and purposes, blind, and a great virtuoso, as well as a very serious and dedicated church musician. The music we play from Vierne is not really liturgical music, as opposed to Bach's music. It's music generally that he wrote for his own, sometimes as a product of his tours, including tours in America. He went on concert tours a lot of times to raise money to fix the Notre Dame organ.
One of the most famous of organists and organ composers.
Absolutely. And he was active at a time when the organ became known for getting very large and very much imitative of the orchestra. Mm-hmm. And the stops are very imitative of the orchestra. So tomorrow night, for example, in the Vierne Symphony, I'm playing Symphony 3, which is arguably his most beloved symphony. There's a beautiful, beautiful solo for the clarinet stop, and which sounds gorgeous on the clarinet stop on the organ.
Who needs
class.
A clarinet, right?
Need clarinets to give us inspiration, but this is the closest I can come to being a woodwind player. And so, yes, you do pull out all the stops. Now, I think the cut you're going to play from one of my CDs is not, it's actually a very light sort of scherzo, which is highlighting the flute's stops. So not so loud, but nimble.
And this impromptu.
Impromptu.
By Vierne.
Yes.
Thank you.
impromptu by Louis Vierne, and one of the great organ composers, as played by my guest today, Jeanette Fischel. And in this case, let's see, which instrument are we talking about?
It's CB Fisk, Opus 126, sure, at St. Paul's Episcopal Church.
And
in Greenville, North Carolina.
Greenville, North Carolina, another North Carolina,
yes,
instrument.
I was there 19 years, so,
so lots
I made a lot of music there and a lot of instruments.
So you must have played the one in Duke Chapel, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, ones. They actually have three.
Are they up to three now?
Three in the chapel, yeah. The Flintrop, the Aeolian, and then there's a Brombaugh in the chapel. They didn't quite have enough, so they put one in the side chapel.
Chapel is kind of a misnomer. It's
chapels,
really a cathedral.
It is, with little,
like,
you know.
And so does the
side chapels.
The bounce back.
The reverb.
Is that the reverb? Is that something you have to really think about in particular as an organist?
Yes, it is. You most often just miss it when it's not there. And when it's there, you're so happy to welcome to the table that you get to play with it. And you do have to be aware of it. And you do also have to program for it, because you don't want to program certain music that needs clarity, like a lot of counterpoint in a room with 7 seconds.
But does that change a little bit when you fill the room full of people?
It does. It can. If a room actually already has sort of upholstered seats, it doesn't change it very much, because the upholstery soaks up the people. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
everything affects it. I mean, if it's a highly humid day, it's also a better acoustic. I mean, everything affects the acoustics. The thing you have to remember with an organ is the room is the sounding board. So the room finishes the sound of the instrument, and you can have a wonderful instrument in a bad room, and it's always a missed opportunity. And you can have actually a mediocre instrument in a great room, and you really come out the winner there, because the room is the most important stop on the organ, as Carl Fisk always said.
That's the quote of the day.
Yep.
Here's something, as we say, completely different. In this case, it's a duet, so this would mean... Well, you and your husband in this case.
Well, in
right?
this case, it is. Yeah, four hands, 4 feet.
Four hands, 4 feet. One organ.
One organ. Yeah, it's not.
Does that
dual
not get
organ.
Crowded?
It does. That's why it helps to be married to the person you're sitting next to. Get in trouble otherwise.
It's worse than dancing, stepping on your partner's feet.
Yeah, we have the choreography worked out really well.
Well, this is a piece that I'm guessing would require some. It's the Procession of the Tsardar, mm-hmm, from the Caucasian Sketches by Ippolitov Ivanov. And in this case, you're playing in Bristol, England.
We are, which is my husband's hometown, at St. Mary Redcliffe, one of the greatest of all Harrison and Harrison organs ever made, and one of the most beautiful parish churches ever made.
So these are Colin Andrews and Jeanette Fischel with the Procession of the Tsardar.
Thank you.
sound of four hands, 4 feet, and a lot of pipes in that rendition of the Procession of the Tsardom. That was a performance, a duet between husband and wife team Colin Andrews and my guest today, Jeanette Fischel, who's going to be playing the Overture Concert Organ tomorrow night at Overture Hall in Madison, 7:30, a varied program, and treat playing in a lot of these places. I think you mentioned that your husband said that, this was the first church that he had performed in?
Well, this was the church where he had his organ lessons as a child, and he's from Bristol. Yes. It's a famous parish church because St. Mary Redcliffe, Elizabeth I visited it and declared that it was the fairest and godliest church in the land. So it is really this beautiful jewel situated amid sort of ugly 1960s sprawl in Bristol. But if you can make your way to it, please do when you visit Bristol on your way to Bath, and hopefully hear that organ, which is just a real treasure.
Well, thanks for stopping by and sharing just a little bit of your music. You have a number of CDs out.
I'm giving them to you, so maybe you can have memories of me once I'm gone. And thank you so much for making time for me, and I really enjoyed it.
We'll look forward to your next visit to Wisconsin.